Hey everybody, welcome to the Hell Road Podcast, the show where we talk about obscure cars, road trips, unique travel destinations, and our car adventures. I'm Ethan.
I'm Paul.
And the topic of today is dream road trips, I guess. Like, what road trips have we maybe always wanted to do, or maybe we have some ideas for places we've wanted to go to for a really long time, maybe cars that we've wanted to drive across the United States, that kind of thing. I think we have a few ideas here. Let's think about road trips that we might want to do in the future.
Yes, the future.
Yes, the future in the year 2000.
It's so crazy that it's going to be 2020 next year.
I know.
Like, oh my gosh.
Yes. We're old.
We are.
Yes. So I actually I spent some time thinking about this. Not a ton of time because I don't know. There's so many, like when you think about where would you want a road trip to? There's so many places that I tried to kind of like narrow it down to like a few ideas. So I wouldn't say this is the absolute ultimate road trip I'd ever want to do, but it's just the ideas behind it are things that I'd like to maybe try at some point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get you. Like in my case, I'm more of like, I'm going to plan this out. I'm going to do this before I die. I have to do it. It's like, I just have to do it.
Yeah.
So yes. What are some of your dream road trips that you would want to take?
So I guess, like I said, this isn't something that is really realistic.
But we
did say this is a dream road trip. So like it could be anything. So the destinations are realistic, but maybe like how it would transpire is maybe something that it would be hard to put together. But anyway, here goes. So this would have to be a family road trip. So it'd be me, my wife, and my daughter.
Okay.
And the idea is we split it up into several different legs, and each leg of the trip would be in a different car. So that's kind of like the idea. The idea behind this road trip is that let's see if we can find the perfect car or the ideal car or the most unique car for each specific leg of the road trip.
Okay.
So would take take a ton of planning, drop off one Turo car and get another one, or, it's probably nearly impossible unless you had a ton of money to make this happen, but one can dream, right?
One can dream.
Yes. So, and I just picked, let's leaving Los Angeles as the kind of the first place to go, just because I'm in LA. I figured, well, let's just start from here. And like I said, I maybe the destinations aren't the most imaginative, but kind of the idea of the different cars, what I was trying to work out. So so let's say the first leg of the trip is along Pacific Coast Highway. So up through past Santa Barbara, past the Elephant Seals in San Simeon, through Big Sur, and I would want to do it in an 80s slant nose 911 convertible. So picture that iconic look of, I mean, it's not even iconic. I don't even really have to describe it because obviously the non-slant noses are the iconic look. This is
I think it's the slant nose is still an iconic Porsche shape, you know.
Yeah.
It's definitely screams 1980s.
Yeah. I think I prefer slant nose 911s to just about all 911s. I don't know when I came to that realization. I think I came to that realization pretty recently.
Okay.
So I think that would be really kind of a fun drive through the windy roads, Pacific Coast Highway, and just imagine, top down. And I don't even really like convertibles, but it's Pacific Coast Highway. You want all the beautiful, magnificent view of the Pacific Ocean and the cliffs sort of just jutting against the shoreline, sweeping vistas, the beautiful scenery, I think you need a convertible for that. And that's why when you drive down PCH through that area, there's just Mustang convertible after Mustang convertible rental. Yes. Just everybody's in a Mustang convertible rental.
Yep.
And it's not like it's going to be, it's a very well-traveled road. There's a lot of tourists on that road. So it's not like you're going to go down there to get like a great driving experience really, unless you're maybe in the morning, I guess. It's more of just, kind of cruising in a cool car. Just imagine my daughter in the car seat in the back, just the wind in her hair, that kind of thing. I think she would get a kick out of it. So, that would be the, maybe you stop in Monterey, California for dinner. And then then I would want to head out to Laguna Seca and I would swap out the 911 for maybe a Skip Barber Formula E race car.
Ooh.
Do 2 days of driving school, or maybe hire a private coach and get some instruction. And I think my wife and kid would probably they'd probably get a kick out of it for like the first 10 minutes and then they would get bored. So
yeah,
what they would do is I would get them a CTSV wagon. and you know, I was just thinking about this today, how it wasn't a prerequisite for, you know, the person that I spend the rest of my life with to be a manual transmission expert. Uh-huh. Just happened to be that she was, she knew how to drive manual. And now that I look back, I'm like, yeah, I don't think I could have dated anybody that didn't know how to drive a manual.
Yeah. My wife can drive manual as sure. Well. So it's like it kind of is prerequisite.
Yeah. Well, and I think one of the first things I was so impressed with my wife when I first met her, I was like, damn, she's a really good driver. Like not just conscientious and safe, but also like, you know, she can like go around some corners quickly and have fun, you know? But it's I just thought, wow, she's a really, really good driver. And I think that was like, okay, little check that off on the pros list, you know?
There you go.
So anyway, so she and my daughter would get a CTSV wagon and they would tool around Monterey. Maybe they go to the aquarium, mm-hmm. Monterey Aquarium. It's a very nice aquarium that they have up there. While I spend a bunch of time and money trying to become a better race car driver. I don't even really know. I'm sure I probably could have thought a little bit more about what other type of race cars I could spend in at Laguna Seca, but I figured, you know what, let's just head to an open wheel car, you know?
Yeah.
I've actually never driven an open wheel race car before. So I think that would be a perfect place to do it. Go down the corkscrew. Yes.
Oh,
I've actually never driven Laguna Seca before. It's definitely on my list of tracks to do. I've done Willow Springs, the big track, and the little track. I've done Buttonwillow. I've done Sonoma. I've done Thunderhill. But I just haven't done Laguna. Probably because I never got up there when I was racing Spec Miata. Mm-hmm. And Lemons, 24 Hours of Lemons does not race there. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I've gotten to do a parade lap in my Mini Cooper.
Nice.
And actually got to do two because something was messed up and they had to retake everybody's pictures on the corkscrew.
Oh.
It was really fun. It's on video. My wife was filming with her, you know, old camcorder. So it was awesome. I would absolutely love to go back and do a track day there with something.
Yeah. Yes. I definitely have to do that. I have to like make a plan to do it because I want to try to do this before I'm old and gray. I'm like, oh, you know what? I never did Laguna Seca. What was I thinking? It's not that far away. So that was definitely on the list. So if there's anything that I take from like this whole dream road trip thing is that I definitely have to get onto Laguna Seca. So yeah. So from there, we would swap out the CTSV and the Formula E race car for a decked out Mercedes Sprinter converted into a camping van. So, you know, those really big ones you see with they're all black, you know, blackout mm-hmm. tint, and they just look super rad. Mm-hmm. So we would stop by Bodega Bay to look for gray whales. We spend maybe a few nights camping amongst the redwood trees in Northern California. And then we would head off to Portland. And I've actually never been to Portland before. My wife's been there, but I have not. Mm-hmm. So I've always wanted to check that place out. And maybe we would find ourselves some hipster vegan lunch.
Yep.
Because I figured there's probably everywhere you go there is probably hipster vegan lunch. I'm hoping because I like vegan lunch and hipsters are fine with me. I don't have any problem with hipsters. So then we would swap out the Sprinter for I had a couple ideas for what would be the kind of like hipster 90s car that you could drive around there. And I ended up with a Toyota Corolla All-Track.
Yes.
So I could just picture like somebody sort of driving that ironically up there. You know, like wanting to like do the throwback thing and everything, like look at my old Corolla, and I would be totally down with that.
Yeah.
so what would we do with the All-Track is we would hook up with one leg of the Gambler 500. Okay. And we would mob through some old logging roads, and I can just imagine like, you know, my daughter in the back seat of this car in her car seat, just she likes, you know, we have this little push car that we push her around, and she likes to go fast in that. She likes to go fast on her scooter. So I think she would probably dig like kind of like bombing around some old logging roads.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And then spend a day in Bend, Oregon, maybe go to like Deschutes Brewery, other towns around Eastern Oregon. I haven't spent much time out there. So, but you know, you kind of get the idea. I don't have like anything more than that planned out, but mm-hmm. you just get, try to find a specific car for each leg of the trip.
Yeah.
Maybe we Moab, Utah. And then, you know,
gotta get a Jeep out there.
Yeah. But I probably wouldn't get a Jeep. I'd probably do something stupid, like get a Suzuki, a Geo Tracker or something
Samurai.
Like that.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
Yeah, because I mean, actually, the other thing I was thinking about is, you know, there is, I could plan this whole trip out in a different way, where instead of finding the perfect car for each section, you find the car that is the complete antithesis of what you're trying to do. So let's say you go, instead of doing PCH in, a 911 slant nose, you do it in like, I don't know, a lifted F-250. I take my F-250.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, just like, oh, I don't like driving on this road. I'm too high up. You could maybe do Laguna Seca and like, something stupid, like a, I don't know. I can't even think. Maybe a Daihatsu Shirai. No, just kidding. Yeah. something that just is out of place. And I can imagine maybe doing the leg of the Gambler 500 in a Daihatsu Shirai. I think Daihatsu Shirai fits all of these
it
things.
It does. It's all of the above.
Yeah,
Daihatsu, all of the above.
Yeah. Because you can imagine that like taking a car and doing something with it that it absolutely shouldn't do. That's kind of what I like about the Gambler 500 so much, is that you're taking all these cars that should not be going off road, and they're doing that. And that's kind of another I would love to try to plan out a whole road trip of that, of just of pushing cars to the limits that they were never designed to do, you know.
Sure. Like a brand new Mercedes S class.
Yeah.
You know, if you have, you know, if money's no object and you're doing one of those, brand new S class. It's, I mean, I think they have all wheel drive. So you're fine.
Exactly.
Wreck it by the time the thing's over with. Oh, whatever. Let's get another one. So.
So I don't know. That seems like this could be like, I would love to hear, like, maybe we'll do a post on Instagram to see like what some of our listeners' dream road trips would be, and what cars they might want to take, and you know, for like the ideal situation, and for the like, let's kind of pick the wrong car, wrong car for the job,
right? Yeah. No, totally. No, that's such a cool idea about, you know, switching the cars out like that. As opposed to just one, because like, you know, that's typically what. I mean, not typically, that usually is always what people do, is they'll drive one car across the country or for their whole road trip, or unless they're going to buy something, whatever the case may be. But like, to switch it out for each leg, that's pretty unique and pretty fun. I you know, that kind of puts a swing on it when me thinking about my dream road trip, how I would do it. Cause the biggest problem I was having was like thinking of what car would I choose, but
sure.
I kind of did something similar, but
okay,
but not 100%. So
all right, yeah, let's hear it.
All right, so it's always been a dream of mine to visit the country of Japan, which I think I've mentioned numerous times, even more so just for the cars. It's always been like the goal to get there, because there's so much of the other parts of Japan that I just enjoy. Like, I enjoy the food, I enjoy the language, not that I can speak it, read it, or write it, but I just like, I like hearing it. It calms me. It's kind of odd. Of course, the cars, of course, like the video game stuff too, you know, the big nerd when it comes to that. So, and then just overall the, I guess you could say the beauty of the land, like Tokyo and stuff like that, that's, you know, beautiful in its own way, but like the whole thing about the Japanese countryside, it's just so green. It's very mountainous. I think there's, you know, here goes one of my famous Paul statistics that doesn't have any like basis, but I heard somewhere some time ago that there's actually the majority.
Probably read it on the internet somewhere.
Probably on Reddit.
Okay.
That there was the majority of Japan is so mountainous that's why the populations are like concentrated into like three major cities, basically.
Yes, the population density is very high in those yes. small areas.
But other than that, it's all just like beautiful countryside, and it's green because they do, you know, their climate's quite a bit different than at least here in California. Yeah. So
where everything is currently brown.
It's
we have the green season for about a month, and then it's the brown season is
for the rest of the year.
11 months. Yep.
Yes. So yeah, I've always wanted to go there. I think the ideal situation for me would be half the time spent with my family with me. So my wife and my kids, but then the other half, you know, they're not going to want to be part of, because it's going to be a lot of driving at night in areas where the road twists left and right, up and down, and racetracks and stuff. So my thought process would be to start down in, and this is, of course, you know, the lottery winnings type of a thing. Start down in Osaka. And this is going to be assuming I've never been to Japan yet at this point.
Sure.
Which is where kind of my main place I want to go, because Osaka is very, very close to the actual home of, we all expected me to say this, the home of Daihatsu.
Okay.
So, and they have a little museum there that's kind of meant for children, but at the same time, it's their museum.
Sure. Well, I mean, Daihatsu are small vehicles, you know, probably very well suited size wise to.
Yeah,
that's mean. I shouldn't say that.
No, it's true though, because the majority of their cars they've always built have been small. They haven't really built a large car.
Sure.
But it's a very cool museum. It's called Humobility World. Look it up. There's some pretty cool stuff there.
Okay.
So that's kind of like the pièce de résistance in Japan for me to see, but I want to start it there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, have my family with me and we're going to check this out, but we're going to drive around, because driving in Japan is something I've always wanted to do. I want to drive right-hand drive. I want to drive obviously on the opposite side of the road and have that whole experience. And, so in Japan, it's very difficult to get your driver's license, like your Japanese driver's license. Mm-hmm. And it's even more difficult to get your driver's license with I guess you would call it like a manual transmission certification.
Oh, okay.
But if you're traveling on an international license, you can drive whatever. It's kind of odd.
Yes. It's
very weird. And
you must know how to drive.
Yeah. So if you like live there, like if you're like teaching English or whatever, like I know there's a few people that I know that have done this, whatever the case may be, to get the driver's license, it's a very difficult test, but then to get the manual certification, it's even harder, and it's a lot more money to get it too. So it's kind of a dying thing over there, but you know, I got a little off topic on that, but at the same time, I shouldn't have a problem. So here's the ideal car with the family, and it's not a Daihatsu, which everybody was thinking I was going to say. It's actually a 1998 Toyota Chaser Tourer V.
Toyota Chaser. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to remember what that one looks like. So was there a Lexus here that was based on that, or am I thinking of something else?
You're thinking of something else. You're thinking of the Soarer.
The Soarer. Yeah,
which was the RSC 300 and 400.
Yep.
So the Chaser was a four-door sedan, and it's rear-wheel drive, and the Tourer V model is equipped with the 2JZ out of the Supra with a six-speed manual transmission.
Okay, that doesn't suck.
No, it doesn't. It's a pretty bitchin' car, and I think it would just be perfect for, you know, doing some touring of like that whole kind of lower section of the main continent of Japan to, you know, starting out in Osaka, going up to Kyoto, you know, taking in all sorts of local, you know, flavors and everything like that, and seeing some of the sights that they have to see, and, you know, having my children get that experience and my wife just enjoying driving about the Chaser, the beautiful Chaser, driving that wonderful car around. And
getting used to just shifting with your left hand.
All that. And my wife sitting on the other side of the car. She'd probably want to drive it too, though.
Yeah.
So would my daughter. She's always like, I want to drive. I'm like, you're 6 years old. You can't reach the pedals. Yeah. One day she will. So skirt about that whole area and make our way kind of into Tokyo from the west, because you can hit up multiple racetracks that way. Mm-hmm. there's quite a few tracks that I need to visit before my life is over.
Yes.
So there's basically three main tracks that I'd really like to see there. And this is where like things get a little iffy if I still want to have the family with me, because in similar to your story or your idea with the Laguna Seca thing, they're going to get bored sitting there watching me do laps. Yep. So maybe they can take the bullet train into the city or something like that. But I would love to take a stop at Tsukuba Circuit, which is kind of a small little technical course, but it's been famous for being used as like a basis for Time Attack in Japan. And a lot of smaller displacement cars run there. You're not going to really see like Formula cars run there. It's a very, very small track, but it's pretty famous if you're into the whole JDM scene. Everybody knows Tsukuba Circuit, all those Best Motoring videos from the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. They use that track a lot as like their test area. So I've done probably a million laps of that thing, you know, from various different Gran Turismo video games. So I know it pretty well, but as fun as it would be to take the Chaser out on that track, I would like to do something a bit more wild and maybe take out something like, I've talked about my love for Spoon Sports, the tuning company from Japan. I'd love to take one of their Fits or any of their cars really out on that course, be it an S2000, a Civic Type R. It would just be awesome to get to have that experience in one of those cars and just I'd love it. It would be so much fun.
I think I know what vehicle you should drive on that track. You need to get a Dajiban.
Oh,
Dajiban.
Well, see, that's the thing. There's what the heck is the name of that other track? There's a place that like the Dajiban, Dodge Vans.
Yes, Dodge Vans. But you have to say a Dajiban.
Dajiban. Where they oh man, what the hell's the name of it? There, it's kind of more like known for like drifting and stuff, because typically that's what those truck or those
Ibisu
vans do.
Circuit.
The Ibisu, there you go. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's right on the tip of my tongue. Ibisu. Yeah, that's the hotbed of Dajiban driving. We'll add that one to the list too.
Why not? You need to do that, because it seems so weird that short wheelbase Dodge vans from the 90s kind of erased there.
Yeah.
I just watched a video of that recently where it just racing. It's just kind of the same idea of like, let's take this vehicle that has no business to be on a racetrack and race it. So
yes.
Anyway, I think you need to add that to your list of.
We're going
to
add that. So Ibisu Circuit.
Yeah, Ibisu Circuit with a Dodge van.
With the Dodge van.
Yeah, and the other things I noticed about that is that a lot of them don't have roll cages or anything. So it's just, I still couldn't figure that out. But anyway, we should do a whole episode on trying to dissect
a Dodge van.
Why that happened there, why it spread to there.
Yes. So the next stop would be Fuji. And Fuji Speedway is quite a large track, and it's got a lot of historic roots in it. It's one of Japan's oldest racetracks. I think it might have been, it's probably not their first, but it's their first like major racetrack. And there was a lot of just wonderful cars from the 1960s that were raced there, and like the 24-hour races they'd have, or the 12-hour races. They had all sorts of endurance races, and some amazing, amazing, amazing cars, you know, were driving in these events. And I think it would be absolutely awesome. It'd be very slow. And again, it's not a Daihatsu. Well, I would love to take one of my other favorite cars, a Toyota Sports 800.
Oh yeah.
And it's full Fuji, 1967 Fuji livery, tune, everything. Take it out on the track. And the track's changed quite a bit since 1967. They've added quite a bit of track to it, where before it was very, very high speed, just a, you know, I think it was only six corners, and now there's quite a few bit more.
Okay. But
God, that would just be so awesome. It would be very slow, because the main straightaway at Fuji Speedway, I think, is mile and a half, I think. So it's a long straightaway. And
I was just looking at a picture of this thing, and it seems like yeah, if you were driving a quick car, that would, you get some serious speed, but then it's like a hairpin on either side.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So it's just huge, probably huge, huge braking zones right there.
Yeah. Fuji Speedway is pretty cool. Formula One for a while was alternating every other year. From Suzuka circuit to Fuji Speedway. And they don't do that anymore. They're only running at Suzuka now. But when they would run at Fuji, it would be awesome, just mainly for the braking zone coming off that the turn one, because it would just be they'd be going all out and then and then all in on the brakes.
Have to basically stop.
So we, as you can see, I'm kind of got the same thing going. I'm like, okay, now we're gonna go to Suzuka circuit. Suzuka circuit is one of my absolute favorite racetracks in the world. One of my actual real life goals is to get to go to Japan in about 2 years would be the goal for my 40th birthday to the Japanese Grand Prix. At Suzuka circuit, which is never, it's always in October and it always rains and sometimes it's torrential and it would probably be pretty miserable, but it would just be awesome to be there. But for my this awesome road trip, Suzuka circuit, and I would do whatever I needed to do to get into, like, Japan has a series of open wheel Formula cars called Super Formula. They're definitely not as fast as a Formula One car or even a F2 car or Formula Two or any of those other ones. They're powered by a four cylinder. You either got a Toyota or a Honda engine in them. Still got about 350 horsepower, so they're still pretty quick, but it's a very, very popular series over there. So that would be awesome to get into an open wheel car and drive Suzuka, go through the S's, Spoon Curve, 131. I love that racetrack so much, and it's up there with Tsukuba. With I've got a lot of virtual laps logged on that racetrack. So
It's funny because you shouldn't underestimate how that might actually help you on the actual track. You know, you're kind of get in there like, oh, I kind of know what this looks like.
Yeah, and kind of what to expect. And that's the thing with the games is they get
some more of them are and more so good.
Realistic, and the physics is really there. So yeah, it would be fun. A lot of fun. You know, at that point, you know, spend some more time with the family who's probably really pissed at me because I'm just driving race cars.
Exactly.
But no, you know, do some more touring around in like Tokyo. At that point would be awesome. And then the car to drive there, I'd probably switch it out to one of the fun little tall K cars just because it's so small driving around in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And here comes the Daihatsu. So Daihatsu has a car, a little tall K car called the Wake. It looks like a little box, kind of similar to your XB, but like maybe half the size of it.
Oh, I remember this thing.
Yeah. The Daihatsu Wake. It's one of their newer models. It's pretty funny. It's a fun little car. So
it's basically, hey, we know what the XB looks like. Let's make a really small version of the XB. It looks like it's tall and narrow and it's going to tip over.
Yeah.
I think those are cool.
Yeah. It's such a cool little car. I'd love to take and drive around in the city in the outskirts of Tokyo in the little Wake with the family, see all the sights that we need to see. From there, I'm going to bid them adieu and I'm fly them home because the next stuff that's going to happen.
Bored.
Yeah, they're bored. So the next stuff that's going to happen, I am going to go to the wonderful Japanese, the legendary Japanese Toges, the mountain passes that made famous from Initial D and just basically the drifting scene that was born there and just the Japanese driving scene that takes place up in there. I'd love to just spend like a week or 2 weeks just by myself, just living kind of, you know, trying to get myself into that scene and like go have fun and just do some driving. But the car I would choose for that, it would be something a little more odd. I'd have to find the right one. I mean, if money's no object, I would just probably buy one secondhand and just tune it myself. and go.
Sounds like you're moving to Japan.
It sounds like it. but I would love to get another Daihatsu. There's a model called the Daihatsu Storia, which was the actual replacement for the Charade. They have a version of it called the Storia X4. They made it in 2000 and 2001. And what that little car has in it is it actually was kind of a meant as an homologated rally car for a rally series in Japan. So it has a 750 cc four-cylinder engine, but it makes 115 horsepower.
Wow. Okay.
It's a little rocket of a car.
It's a weird looking vehicle.
It is.
Got some odd proportions. It kind of looks like a shoe.
It does. I love that little car though. So I'd love to take one of those things, tune it all up and go attack the togays with it.
Yeah.
Have a ton of fun. And when I'm done, do what I can to bring it back home.
Yes. Yeah. So, and then so wait until what year do you have to wait till you can actually register that in the US?
Actually that would be
25 years, so whatever that.
Yeah,
gotta do the math.
Yeah, do the math on it. 2024. I don't know. Yeah. Either or, I'd just put the plate from the Charade on it and drive it around.
I think it's probably fine. Nobody'll
know. No. It's right-hand drive, little thing that pops flames out of it because it's got an anti-lag on it from the turbo. You know, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that would be kind of my most epic mega craziness. Would just be having a really fun car tour of Japan. And of course I can't leave out that I would stop at the car museums too. There's some amazing the Nissan Heritage Collection. I don't know if you've seen pictures of what that facility looks like. My goodness, everything that you can imagine is in there. They have some of the Sunnies that ran in the African Safari Rally that are still all beat up and battered. They have some of the absolutely crazy Group C cars that were running at Le Mans in the late 80s, early 90s that were, 1,200 horsepower in qualifying trim. I mean, it's awesome. So, but all the car manufacturers there have, museums because, Japan's very proud of their automotive heritage that they have. And they do a very good job of preserving it. Not that we don't here in the United States, but I can't really think of Chevy's own museum besides the Corvette Museum. And then the same goes for Ford. There's really not an official Ford museum.
I would love to know if that's something like that exists, and I maybe we just don't know about it. If GM had a museum where they had one example of pretty much every car they made, it would be a huge museum. But I would love to see some of that weird stuff that you just kind of forgot existed,
Right. Yeah.
Maybe they're just not as proud as some of the cars. I could think of a bunch of them from the 80s that they might be like, we just want to forget that we ever made that.
Yeah. No,
I want a museum of Citations, Cimarrons, and J bodies, and the just weird stuff.
The Ford EXP
exactly.
But yeah, that was always the thing too, with car museums is I always gravitate towards the biggest pile of crap. I remember the first time I went to the Peterson, I was with my wife and we were walking around and I got all excited because the last production Plymouth was in there and it was a neon. It was just a white neon.
I thought it would be something like a Breeze or something like
that. No, it was a neon. And I was like, oh, this is the last production Plymouth. And my wife's like, it's a neon. And I'm like, no, it's the last one.
Yeah, I feel like I might have seen a picture because anytime a factory closes down, a car factory closes down or they're, shifting jobs off to Mexico or something, it's always this sort of sad photo of everybody clapping around the last neon or whatever is coming through the line. Like, yay, we just lost our job.
Yeah.
This is great. We've had a good run. Time for some unemployment.
Yeah.
That's just what, anytime I see celebrating the last car, it's like, yeah, maybe don't celebrate the last one.
Right. Yeah, I remember in the magazine clipping of the last Volkswagen Beetle that rolled off the line at the Puebla plant in Mexico from 2003, I think was the last one that rolled off the line. So, and it's, everybody's celebrating, but it's just wow, that's crazy. That's the last of the car. Mm-hmm. That's the last one that they're going to build. Yeah. I mean, with all this being said, there's plenty of places that would be absolutely fun to take road trips. I think, the way kind of the car community and everything is now is, you see a lot of these, the shows on TVs that really glorify it. Like, you know, you Top Gear, like some of their epic trips that they took, like the, I'm forgetting. I just watched the other week. Where the hell did they go? Whatever. On the Grand Tour, you know, it's like they do these epic trips, and it just inspires people to get out there and do stuff. And, you know, the crappier the car, the better, because, or at least the most memorable, because you can go and have, like you said, you can have a ton of fun on a slant nose Porsche on PCH. But if you're doing it in the big bro-dozer truck, it's like, it's going to be a little more memorable, because it's like, remember when we were going through the corners and like, we were all like swaying to one side of the truck as it like leaned 4 feet, you know, 'cause it's so high off the ground, you know, it's those things that really make the memories. So, you know, as fun as it would be to do like that Japan trip with all those wonderful cars, even if I did it in like a rented K car, it would still with a CVT transmission, it would probably still be just as epic and memorable to me, and probably more memorable and comical, because it was like, remember the time I almost flipped over the Daihatsu Wake and on the 131R corner at Suzuka, you know?
Yes, exactly.
So money, of course, would do all of that stuff. But at the same time, it's fun to dream and think about those things. And, you know, if for anybody else out there, you know, if you're ever having one of those days, like at work, and you're just like, man, I just, you know, just a bad day, just think about make a dream road trip, and then do what you got to do to make it happen, because we're all on here for a little bit, you know, and then,
yeah,
then we're gone. So make the best most of it while you can.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny, 'cause I just sort of did this as an exercise, like, okay, let's see if we can come up with some fun things to talk about for this podcast. But, as I was going through it, I'm like, oh, I really have to do some of this stuff. You know, I won't do it in the same way that I describe it. Like, yep, I've got to go to Laguna Seca. I got to go to Japan and experience some Dodge vans on racetracks, you know? So yeah, it is kind of a fun exercise to go through and figure out, because, you know, a lot of times you sort of just get, if you're working your job or you got a lot of stuff going on, you got kids, you might not even really have time to even think about like, yeah, how can we even get away? But it is kind of nice if you go through and make a little plan, even if you think it's ridiculous and it's just a dream, you might get something out of that. Like, oh, you know what? I will take my kids there. We should make a plan, you know, next year to do this. And it is one of those things that if you're working your job day in and day out, it's easy to kind of forget that you need to get out there and explore and go on a road trip. So
decompress and spend that, you know, make memories with your family, or, you know, or even just, you know, by yourself, like my little toge walkabout I was talking about in Japan, you know, just, you got to do that kind of stuff for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure you do. And then, you know, it's an adventure no matter what you're in. So.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this was a good one. I liked, we might have to make this a regular thing and come up with another few dream road trips for future episodes.
Oh yeah. So. I mean, I can think of many, many more, but that's like the main one is like,
yeah. That. Yep.
That'd be a ton of fun.
Nice. All right. Well, I guess that's probably the end of this episode. Why don't we, your dog says it's the end of the episode too.
Yeah. I don't think we've introduced him. So, our third host of this podcast is my dog Simba. He's looking at me because I said his name. He has this little collar and he shakes it every so often because he sits on the couch right behind me when I record. And yeah, he's our third co-host. He doesn't say much. He just jingles and then walks away.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I would say that my dog is a co-host too, but she's 16 years old and mostly just eats and craps. So she's probably crapping on the floor in the kitchen as we speak. So
oh boy,
I have to run in there real quick after this. Nice. Yeah. We get off the topic of dog crap, hopefully pretty quickly. So
yes.
Where can we find you, on the socials?
On the socials, you can find me at Paul's Finest Hour at both Twitter and on Instagram, you know. That place where they post pictures and stuff.
Yes. And I'm at Mr. Ethan Tufts on Instagram and Twitter and youtube.com/HelloRoad. I'll have some new videos up soon. And yeah, HelloRoad.tv if you want to get some stickers, HelloRoad stickers or t-shirts. Yes. Those are there and they're cool. And you probably should get one to help support the show. We would really, really appreciate that. So I guess that's it.
That's it.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.